Saying yes to? Yes. What's he asking you to do? Yes. Well, you don't know. Yes. I'll say yes, Lord. Whatever he wants me to do is good for me, or will work for my good, and certainly for his kingdom. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Thank you. Nice to be back here again with you this evening. Getting lots of feedback amazingly from folks that are not here, but are listening in, saying, you know, just what we were talking about this week, or just what the doctor ordered, or just what I needed. Amen. Keep it up. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Part 19. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. If you're just joining us today, we've been speaking from the Song of Solomon for several services now, and we see how it's a story of Christ and his bride. It's a story of Solomon and his Gentile bride. There's many things that are being told in this Song of Songs. It's very rich. It's a story of you and Christ here in the end time. The queen, who was a shepherdess, a Shunammite woman, a woman from Shunem. She's going from, you know, it's the type of, you know, the prince and the pauper, except it's the princess and the pauper, or the type of Cinderella, you know, where she's chosen by the prince and her sisters have abused her and looked down upon her, and she's had a hard life. And it's a story of the young man from the Armor Ranch that comes out west from Chicago to find a bride. And he finds a woman that's thrown out the dishwater behind where the dance is taking place. And he comes out and has a little talk with her. She catches his attention. She has something that all the other girls are missing. She has character. But she has to be told who she is, that she's chosen. He makes a promise. And she has to believe it. And as she begins to believe it, she begins to walk into it. And one day she's the bride of the man from Armor Company. She's the queen of King Solomon. She's the bride of Jesus Christ. And she's not sitting there thinking that she's some poor shepherd woman. But she recognizes she always was a queen. She was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. She came from him. But she had to be told. She had to be born again, and then she had to be told who she was by him. So here she is, she's on her way from where she's at to where he's at, and they're going to be united. It's a type of us. We're on our way on our journey from where we're at through a wilderness time, as the children of Israel in the first Exodus went through a wilderness to get to their promised land. And in our wilderness journey, she's been provided a bed, as we read here, and it's a place of rest for her. And she's been given 60 of the best soldiers available, who are a type of the ministry. And they're to take her on this night journey, mostly night journey, from where she lives to where she meets him. And they go as we meet him in the air. We leave where we're at, we meet him in the air, and he comes from where he's at, we come from where we're at, we meet together in the air, and then we go with him to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Just beautiful, beautiful, perfect type. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? So here's this woman coming, and they don't recognize who she is. She's in this great carriage on a bed. There's a veil over it. They know that it's somebody important. They know that today is Solomon's wedding day. But here's this procession coming on the very same road that they're expecting the bride to come, and they don't know who this is, and so they say, "Who is this?" And they see the pillars of smoke rising. They smell the perfume, the myrrh and the frankincense and all the powders of the merchants. And then they, as this procession gets closer, they say, "Behold his bed." They recognize, as we read earlier, that Solomon made this himself. He could have had anybody make it, but the king himself chose to make this bed. And they see the seal upon it, and so they know that this is Solomon's bed. So they know that whoever this is behind that veil, that has to be Solomon's queen. "Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 60 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. And every man hath a sword upon his thigh because of the fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon." So it's the most precious wood. It's cedar wood of Lebanon. And of course, cedar is white and red, and it represents the cross. It represents the righteousness that came from the cross through the shedding of the blood. And she's being carried on a cross, if you will. And it's a place of rest for her for this journey. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads once again tonight. Father, as we stand before you, we just want to tell you, Lord, once again, how much we love you and how thankful we are, Lord, to be called by your name, Lord, to be in your presence, to be your children, to, Lord, to know the truth, to know you. Lord, to have this rest in the midst of all of our trials. And Lord, I don't know if it was mentioned tonight or not. If it wasn't, then we just want to be faithful to bring it forward, Lord. We understand that our brother Alvaro is now experiencing the same symptoms of his wife. We know that she was tested positive for COVID. We know, Lord, that she's recovering, and we expect you to fully raise her up, Lord. Our confidence is in you, and we thank you for that, Lord. Now we ask, Lord, that you do the same thing for our brother Alvaro. We ask, Lord, that you drive these symptoms away, Lord, that his body would begin getting stronger, that you would heal him completely, Lord. And we ask for the health of each and every one, others that perhaps came in contact with him, Lord. We plead the blood here tonight, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that your healing virtue would prevail, Lord, upon the scene. Father, we're so thankful that we have something greater than a hope tonight, Lord. We have a blessed assurance. Father, we just ask that you be with each and every one that's listening in tonight, Lord, and those that are present and those that will listen in. And Father, we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So our sister Rosea told us that it was a coworker that came to work. So she works in the medical field, and this person that was, you know, they do what's called a report at the end of their shift, where they're somebody's coming on to take over, and you're getting ready to leave, and so you explain the conditions of your patients or whatever it is that you've been entrusted with, and so you're doing kind of a handoff. She said that they only taught for 15 minutes, and she said, and then she finds out that that woman was coming to work sick, that she knew that she was sick. And I'm thinking, my goodness, if you can't, you know, if healthcare professionals won't pay attention to this. I mean, that's like a mechanic driving around without any oil. I would never go to that mechanic. You know, it just boggles your mind. This is so simple. It's so avoidable. So anyway, so thankful that we can call upon our Lord in our time of need. You know, we do things in ignorance. We do things, we reserve the right to learn. And we're thankful that we can make wrong decisions and the Lord will make things turn out for good, but we'll pay a price that we didn't have to pay. Praise the name of the Lord. So I'm so grateful tonight that the Lord has made a way for us to meet him in the air. I'm not going there on my own, but he's provided a rest for me, and he's provided a way of escape. He's provided a procession. He's provided everything that I have need of to complete this journey. He provides us with a place of rest. We don't have to fret. We don't have to wring our hands. We don't have to take thought. We do have to take thought, but not our own thought. And, you know, what's so amazing about this is that we're traveling first class in this life, while others are traveling in steerage, if you will. To understand that, that's the people that are down below that are having to go like this on the boat, and you're traveling in first class. Now, it's not that we are saying that we're better than any other people. We're not. It's not to say that we aren't going to have any trials. We do. But we don't have to struggle in our soul as others do. There's a rest. We don't have to wonder about how this story ends. We don't have to wonder about what our destination is. We don't have to wonder if this is all worth it. We don't have to wonder if there's a point to all of this. We know what the end of the story is. The end of the story is just the beginning of eternity. In the message, Greatest Battle Ever Fought, we read this morning. He said, and in this, there's a mutual ground, no man's land. And they fight here at this place. They just don't fight, one fight over here, and then one down here, and one right over here. He says, there's a battle front where they meet, and they test their powers. Where each army tests its strength against the other army, a mutual meeting place. So it's agreed upon meeting place to go to war. He says, now don't miss this. When this great battle started on the earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin and for the battle to rage. And that battleground began in the human mind. There's where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of the battle, where it was to begin, and that is because that decisions are made from the mind in the head. The battlegrounds, you've got to meet your enemy, is in the mind. You've got to make your choice. It meets you. That's where the battle rages. That's where the battle begins. That's where the battle ends. So the armies choose the battleground. They choose the place where they're going to come together, and they're going to test each one another's strengths and weaknesses, and they're going to test their weapons, and they're going to test their powers. And each side goes with their very best. They go out with their best weapons. They go out with their best soldiers. They go out with their best tactics, and they give it their best efforts. And then the strength of each army is proven. The strength of each army is tried and tested. Now, Satan's weapons, we're told, are to get you to doubt your weapons. Now, here we think the devil is so powerful, and he's got this instrument and that instrument, this weapon and that weapon. But the prophet of God tells us what his weapons are. His weapons are to get you to doubt your weapons. Oh. He gets over us in our ignorance initially. He gets over us in our doubt initially. But once we recognize our weapons, once we recognize who and what we are and what's been given to us, Satan is powerless. He's no match for our weapons. And his approach, friends, is the same way that he approached the first family in the Garden of Eden. His weapons don't even begin to compare to what has been given to you and I. But really, He doesn't even need to use his own armor. He doesn't need some kind of a special weapon. All he needs is to get you to doubt your weapons, to get you to doubt the power of prayer, to get you to doubt your faith, to get you to doubt the power of commitment, to get you to doubt the power of love, to get you to doubt the power of the word. All he has to do is convince us that what he has is more powerful than what we have. Now, friends, he's already been defeated. He was defeated by the firstborn of the new race 2,000 years ago. And what he does, one of his tactics is to use things that are immaterial. Use things that just don't matter against us. He'll use your past against you. Your past is of no consequence. It's under the blood. But as long as you think that it matters, he'll use it against you. He'll use your weaknesses against you. But what you need to do is admit, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. I'm not counting on my weakness. My weakness won't get me in and it won't keep me out. He uses our failures against us. But friends, you're not going to get there by your strength, so your failures aren't going to keep you out. He uses our lack of abilities against us, but it isn't your abilities that's going to get you in. He doesn't fight fair. How many knows that? He doesn't speak the truth to us. When he's coming against us, most of the time what he's coming against us with isn't even a battle. You're not worthy. Oh, that hurt so bad. Why don't you just admit it? And then say, devil, so what? I'm not counting on my worthiness. I'm counting on his worthiness. Do that and his jaw drop. He starts out initially by telling you he's your friend. He's going to take you to the best parties. You're going to have the best friends. You're going to have the most fun. You're going to make the most money. Oh, he just, you know, and he's going to be right there with you. And he's telling you, oh, you know, it ain't so bad. And don't worry about this. And don't worry about that. It's better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. But when you come to Christ, you realize that the devil is your enemy and that he's been your enemy all along. And then he changes his tactics. Okay, we're not friends any longer. So then he turns against you and he uses you to fight you. He's not fighting you. He's using you to fight you. What'd you do that for? Well, you told me to. You said I'll never amount to anything. I might as well poke my eye out. But you learn to defeat your enemy through the word. Amen. Through what you've been equipped with. Amen. So we read here, the valiant of Israel is escorting this queen to be with her king. And the bride, the bride's escort can't keep the bride from thinking negative thoughts. They can tell her positive things. They can tell her positive things about herself, things that the king has said about her, things that are laying in her future, things that are to be, things that are. They can tell her what her bridegroom is saying about her, thinking about her, what the people of the city are in great expectation for her arrival. They can tell her all these things. They can present her with positive thoughts, but they can't stop her from thinking negative thoughts. They tell her how much she's loved. They tell her how much more she means to him than the church, than the rest of these other wives that he already has. They tell her who she really is versus who she's been used to thinking that she is. They tell her all the wonderful things that her bridegroom says about her to them in conversations. But she has to believe it. He says, now, there's where the battle begins. Right in your mind. He says, now, you remember, it's not Christian Science now. mind over matter. The mind accepts the life, which is the Word of God, and there brings the life. He says, just your thought doesn't do it. So he's telling us, it isn't you just thinking a good thought or thinking a positive thought. Just your thought doesn't do it. But the Word of God brought in the channel of your thought. So we have to get a thought, and it is a thought that makes a difference, because this is a battleground, and our weapon is a thought, which is a word that comes from God. But it's not your thought. Well, it is your thought, but it didn't come from you. It didn't originate from you. It originated from Him. Amen. You could say, you know what, Brother Lucas, I think I'll become a Christian. You know, I was just sitting around, and I thought, yeah, why not? Somebody said, you want to be a Christian? I said, sure. You know, I think I'll do that. You know, like I'll be a race car driver. I'll be an army man, or I'll be a fireman, whatever. You know, just something you cook up in your mind. That's a nice thought. It's a good thought. But it must be His thought presented to you. If He doesn't draw, you don't come. So He has to present that thought to you, and you accept it based on His word, not your thinking. If it's your thinking, you don't need God. If you can do this without Him, you don't need Him. But He presents the thought to you just as the enemy presents his thoughts to you. And it comes through the channel of your mind. It's not something that you think up yourself. He says, it's not the thought as Christian Science makes it, mind over matter, where it's just you thinking, you know, I'm going to think this positive thought and that'll change everything. You don't need God if that's what you're going to do. He says, no, that isn't it. But your mind accepts it. A thought that comes from God. Your mind accepts it and grasps it. And your spirit catches the Word of God. And that's the thing that's got life in it. It brings life into you. You're accepting this thought, but this thought has life. It's not just a thought, it's a living thought. He says, oh, brother, when that takes place, when life comes down that channel into you, the Word of God is manifested in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. Hallelujah. Many come to Christ and they get saved. That's a wonderful thing. That's good. We all start there. But many will continue to still talk the devil's language, though they never use a cuss word. They use church words. But yet they're speaking the devil's language because it's negative. This is from the Message Law. Now, I was thinking about this as I was going through this. You know, I could practically quote this from memory, because the first time we preached on this was, I was thinking about that earlier today. The first time I preached on this scripture, or excuse me, this quote was 1995. So that was 25 years ago. If it was true then, and it started a little revival. And if it was true then, how much more true is it today? 25 years later. He says, now it's a strange thing that this is so much thought of people. They say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. Well, what is a good Christian? And what's a bad Christian? You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. There's no such thing as a good or a bad Christian. I'm not a very good Christian. He says, that's just what the devil wants you to say. You're just talking his language. Right then. Now, you never said a cuss word. You just said, I'm not a very good Christian. Those are church words. You know, Brother Branham talks about it this way. He says, you can go into some of these restrooms. You know, he would drive across the country from this place to that place. And I remember, you know, we moved about every couple of years. And every summer, no matter where we lived, we'd drive back to Indiana and to Illinois where the relatives were at. And, you know, you spend a lot of time at gas stations and hotels and whatever, restaurants and We didn't eat at restaurants a whole lot. We would pack food, you know, a loaf of bread and bologna and whatever, and we'd stop and at a rest stop, and you know, those were good times for us. You might think, ooh, gross, but we enjoyed it. But you go into some of these restrooms, and some of them, my goodness, you go in, they're dirty, they're filthy, and remember those linen rolls? You know, you wash your hands, and then you pull on this roll and dry your hands, and the next person comes in, and they pull on the same roll of, you know, it's a continuous roll of cloth, right? So obviously where you wiped your hand is clean, right? Nobody's touched it. And the germs didn't kind of walk up and, you know, it's wet here, but the water stays there. You know, it's kind of like a smoking section on an airplane. Yeah. Smoke doesn't go in the no smoking section. That's, you could write a book on this stuff, you know. What were they thinking? A no smoking section in a restaurant. How did that work out? Unless there was a separate room. The things that took, the big lies that we were told in our day. So one of them, you know, some people are saying, well, you know, you're worried about coronavirus. You already survived that paper towel machine. Or you would go in there and Brother Bram said it, and I've done this before. I chuckled when I read the statements that he made because I did this. You go in and you don't even want to touch the doorknob. You don't want to touch anything, so you use your elbow. And those are the words he said. You go in and the place is so filthy, you don't want to touch anything, right? And then on top of it, there are words that are written and on the walls that you wouldn't repeat. Some that maybe you might have to ask mom and dad, what does it mean? But then you realize that it probably isn't something good, so you probably shouldn't bring it up. It's filthy. You don't want to touch anything. And you would feel like you were defiled. And yet you would say, I'm not a very good Christian. He said, that's just as bad as those things that are written in that filthy bathroom. You're speaking the devil's language, which is what you read in bathrooms, or what we did read. He says, that's just what the devil wants you to say. Now, you're just talking his language right then. See, you must never say that. Somebody say never. How often is it okay for me to say I'm not a very good Christian? You say, oh, I'm being humble. Never. You're just talking his language right then. You must never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. I'm saved. I have God in my heart. I believe him with all my heart. Do you believe in divine healing? With all of my heart. Let your testimony always, and your thoughts, oh friends, these are keys here tonight, and your thoughts, everything, never permit negative thoughts to come in your mind if you can help it. You say, I can't help it. He says, well, when it starts that, just don't entertain it. It will come your way. But just don't entertain me. It's like somebody coming around to tell you something about somebody. You say, I can't help it. They're coming to tell me about somebody. Yes, you can. You can tell them, stop it. Right. You can tell them, excuse me, where does the time go? Right. You can tell them, does this look like a garbage can? Right. Well, then don't dump your junk into my ear. Right. Oh, but that wouldn't be very nice. It would be nice to hear something negative about somebody. Is it going to help them?
Nope.
Are you going to feel better?
Nope.
You'll walk away feeling like you need to scrub your ears and maybe wash your tongue.
Right.
Yep. He said, but I didn't start it, but you can stop it. This is the devil's game, friends. Never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. And when it starts that, don't entertain it. Well, you say, but I can't help the thoughts from coming. Well, that would be like the farmer that said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place. He says, but he could sure stop them from roosting. So that's a good thing. You see, you can't help the thoughts when they come. But don't. I think he's trying to tell us don't. Don't. Don't entertain them. Just pass it on. Not pass it on by telling somebody else, but let it pass on. No, sir. Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God, and I'm going to keep them. I'm going to testify of them. And God can only bless you as you confess that he has done it for you. See, he's the high priest of our confession. Is that right? Hebrews 3. He said that he's the high priest of our confession. He can only do for us as we accept it, believe it, and confess it. I'm going to see if I can find that message. I titled it, Accept, Believe, and Confess. 1995, somewhere in that region. I'm going to pull that up. Then maybe we'll just push play. Would that be okay? Friends, we're all going to confess something. Right? What we confess is what we're going to live. And you will not live any higher than your confession. Well, I'm a loser. You sure are. Hey, what are you saying that about me for? I'm not. I'm just agreeing with you. Well, you can't say that about me. You said it. And you will be a loser as long as you believe that you're a loser. You're lost as long as you believe you're lost. If you believe you're saved, you're saved. How many knows that? But let that confession drop. You can lose your salvation. Now, I'm not talking about if you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you're sealed to the day of your redemption. I'm talking about justification. As long as that's your testimony, you're saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Right? But let that confession drop. Friends, it's no different than your healing. As long as you confess your healing's yours. Let your confession drop. You just lost your healing. So it starts out as a thought, and then it becomes a confession after it's entertained for a season. We all have thoughts that are presented to us to see what we will do with them. Now, the devil doesn't know for sure what you're going to do with it. He does know your pedigree. He does know your DNA. He does know your ancestry. He does know how your family tree reacts to certain things because he's had plenty of time to study. But once you're born again of the Spirit of God, he doesn't know what's going on in the soul unless you tell him. The trouble is, the devil disguises his thoughts when he presents them to you by making them church thoughts. And then we accept those thoughts if we're not careful, if we don't run them through the filter of the Word. And then we believe that we're guilty of those thoughts just because they came across our thinking. The devil tells us, well, now you're guilty of it. You might as well go ahead and do it because you had that thought. No, you gave me the thought, devil. I don't want to do those things. Sure, the thought is tantalizing. Sure, there's a temptation that goes with it. You wouldn't do it if there was no temptation. Come on, church. And that's why we need to run every thought through the Word of God. Every thought that we have concerning ourselves. Every thought that we have concerning what God thinks about us. Everything. It's got to come through the Word. You need to evaluate your whole, everything you believe. And see if it came from the Word. If it doesn't, you need to cast it down. It's amazing how much we find out in our walk along the way. Things that we had no idea didn't come from the Word. And yet, we're embracing it out of ignorance. But if you take it to the Word, say, well, devil, where is that in the Word? If it's in the Word, you'll receive it. If it isn't, throw it out. Have you ever read in the Bible about, you know, where it says cleanliness is next to godliness? Anybody? Why not? Because it isn't there. That's like the Jews asking Jesus, why are your disciples eating with unwashed hands? Well, what's wrong with that? Well, the word tells you not to. Where? There's a word. Where does it say in the Bible you have to wash your hands before you eat? It doesn't say that. Where does it say in the word that one soul is worth 10,000 worlds? I looked for it. It doesn't say that. It's a nice saying. Our prophet repeated that. No doubt one soul is worth something like 10,000 worlds. But it isn't in the Bible. Where does it say in the Bible, you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and you came into this world speaking lies? Nowhere. It does say you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And then in another scripture, further in another book, it says you came into the world speaking lies.
Right.
But it doesn't say in one place.
Right.
But yet we quote this stuff like it's, why do we do that? How about this one? A fool will walk in hobnailed shoes where angels fear to trod. Well, what chapter is that in? That's not in the Bible either.
Right.
It's a nice saying. It's a nice thought. I can go on and on and on and on.
Right.
How do I know? Because people ask me these things over the years. And I had to look it up. And I was as surprised as some of you that it's not in the Bible. It's enough, friends, to be concerned about what's in the Word.
Right.
We don't need to trouble ourselves with what isn't in the Word.
Right.
We need to take everything through the filter of the Word.
Yeah.
We don't have to have an explanation for everything.
Right.
Particularly if there's nothing said in the Word about it. Right? If there's nothing said in the Word about it, I don't have to... There ain't no way I need an answer to that foolish question. Well, hallelujah. Social media can fill our minds with so much wrong thinking. Because there's so much wrong thinking in social media.
I think that
it can be used as a tool. It can be used appropriately. But when you're reading every single argument and debate and fuss and stew, how does it make you feel when you get done? The news. Why would we expect to get truth from the news? If you feed on it, that's what you'll become. It matters what we feed on. Overcoming power does not come from arguing on social media or from being an expert on what's true on the news and what isn't. Or sports. We don't get overcoming. There's nothing wrong with sports by themselves, but sports will not give us overcoming power. Amusement will not give us overcoming power. There's only one source for the right kind of thinking, and that's the Word of God.
Amen.
So that we ought to treasure that, value that, esteem it higher than anything, and we ought to take everything through that Word.
Amen.
Well, you're getting quiet on me now. Who is this? Brother Branham says, what if Abraham would have took what it looked like? 25 years waiting for a promise that God gave him? Why? He'd have never had a baby. He would have never been the father of little Isaac. Listen. But he believed God's word and he wouldn't turn it loose. Why? Because that's all he was listening to. That's all he was focused on. That's all he believed. He believed God's word and wasn't shopping. He received God's word, accepted it, believed it, wouldn't turn it loose. Listen, but he watered it day and night, strong, giving praise unto God. He says, oh, when Sarah would say, honey, it's been 25 years ago since the promise was made. Here I am nearly 100. He'd say, praise God. We're going to have it anyhow. Because God said so. And that settles it. Friends, he didn't entertain the thought. The thought did come to him that he'll never have that baby. But he didn't entertain it. He held on to the thought that they were going to have that baby. Because God said so. That's right. He knowed the nature of God because he was a friend of God. He knowed how to take him because he knowed that his promises, no matter how foolish they looked or how simple they looked or how unreasonable that they looked, they were true because God said so, and that settled it forever. Hallelujah. So Brother Branham said he watered his promise with praise. He watered his promise with praise. He watered his promise with praise. Friends, you cannot get discouraged by praising God. God gives you a promise. You give him praise. How are you going to get discouraged? Where's there room for discouragement? Discouragement comes when you quit meditating on the promise and you start meditating on something else. Come on, friends. Many times, people get down on their knees with heaviness, with great heaviness. And they get back up with the same heaviness that they went down with. And the reason why is they fail to water the promises of God with praise. Now I'm going to drive this home. We're going to spend the rest of tonight on this. They fail to water the promises of God with praise. They're too busy trying to throw a sympathy party. Because they don't want it solved. They really want sympathy. They really want people to feel sorry for them. Why? Why do you want to stay that way? I want to kick you. And so does God. When you get down in the molly grubs and feel sorry for yourself and want to pull everybody down that pit with you, God doesn't feel sorry for you, and we shouldn't either. What you need to do is look at what God didn't say you couldn't have it. You're down in the dump saying that you can't have it, but God didn't say that. Why should I feel sorry for you when you've been given an exceeding great and precious promise? Well, it hasn't happened yet, so what's your point? Neither has your birthday, but you're looking forward to that, aren't you? Up to a certain age. Oh, I'm going to preach tonight, friends. I'm already making some of you mad. But that's just the spirit that's on you. A spirit that you've been nursing and feeding and burping and changing its diapers for years. You need to quit doing that. You want to be happy? Give God praise. And don't make it conditional. Well, they're giving praise because look at all God's doing for them. Well, you'd see God doing something for you if you'd start giving them praise too. Because you're watering that promise. You're keeping it going. Let your testimony go sour and your seed promise will shrivel up. The promise is a seed. You got to water it. And you water it with praise. If you stop watering that seed with praise, it'll shrivel up. And if you're not careful, it'll eventually get to where you don't even remember the promise. And some evangelist will have to come by. And he'll preach a message, and then you'll come to the altar and boo-hoo and cry out and have a little revival. And then you'll come to the pastor afterwards and say, why didn't you ever preach these things? I've never heard that before. It's like, you've heard it about 100 times. And you watered it. And then you let it die. And now you forgot about it. And God had mercy. God had grace. Your pastor got tired. Your pastor was busy dealing with this one and that one and this one. So God sent somebody in to remind you of how you let that plant shrivel up. That's good. Friends, I have a gift. And my gift is to walk into the house and tell my wife that plant's dying. Yeah. What is the gift? I look at it, it's... And she says, oh, I watered it. I'm sure you did. When? Tell the plant that you watered it. Well, I did what the instructions said. I know what the instructions might say, but look at the plant. If your promise is withered, if your confession is getting weak, how do you strengthen it? By giving praise. Water it with praise. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my loved one. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my daughter. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my son. Thank you, Lord. You'll not allow this promise to be going unanswered. I don't know when, I don't know how, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Yes, I've had this backache for 80 years. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. One day, I'm going to step up and walk into it. Thank you, Lord. It's not a matter of if. It's not a matter of maybe. You promised it, Lord. That's the only confession I have. You are my healer. Well, why did you have to put, you are my healer? Why did Abraham have to wait 25 years? You are my... Because God gave him a promise. And God was working something out. But Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He watered it with praise. Oh, we're going to have church here in a moment. Hallelujah. Now, you can do whatever you want with these keys. If you leave here the same way, listen, friends, slap that devil if he's making you mad at me. Turn around and say, devil, I'm going to slap you. I'm not mad at my pastor. I'm mad at you. Because you're trying to keep me from being happy. You're trying to keep that joy from welling up in me. You're trying to keep me from praising my God. Whether it's good times, whether it's bad times, whether I'm on the mountaintop, whether the building's on fire, I'm still going to praise you because you're worthy of my praise. Whether I feel like it, whether I don't feel like it. You've been too good to me, Lord. You don't have to do one more thing. I'll praise you throughout eternity. Glory to God. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Where's the pity party in that? Why do we need to get together, party hats, and woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble I have. Well, we do now. Nobody wants to hear it, friends. We all have problems. Oh, you're so cruel. You don't want to hear my problem. I want to hear it in terms of, here's what I'm going through. Would you pray with me? But I want to hear a positive confession. Pray with me that God will answer this prayer. God will meet this need because he's greater than this situation. I'm going to preach that Catholic spirit out of this church. That's a Catholic devil. You feel that way, friends? You'll never overcome nothing. You'll win first prize for the biggest whiner, the biggest complainer, the biggest discreditor of God's word. All right. Hallelujah. Brother Henry, keys are in the desk. If you could go start the truck. It pulls a little bit. You'll figure it out. There's a battle going on right now. Right here. And I'm doing the best I can to help you fight that battle. But you've got to join in. Well, you keep bringing it up. Stop doing it. Amen. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, I used to. Till this happened to me. And that happened to me. And this happened to me. That made me believe it more, not less. Because there's a victory attached to every, this happened to me, that happened to me.
Yes.
Friends, if we don't believe this, we should just go away and do something different. If you want to have a negative confession, go. Don't join the optimist club, go to the pessimist club. Go join the Democrat Party, where everything's screwed up and there's no hope. Do you believe that? The word is a seed. Is that right? That a sower sowed in the ground, and every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you need salvation, the seed's here. If you need healing, here's the seed in the word. The word of God is a seed. Put it in your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. Don't look for evidence, in other words. Put it in there. Leave it there. It's God's business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there and water it by faith and praise. Every day. Every day. Every day. Thanking God for it. I don't see where there's any discouragement in that. You can't be discouraged when you're thanking God for a promise. I wonder how often we do this. How often do we praise Him? Do we praise Him every day for His promises? Do we do that? God, give me my son. He promised you. God, give me my daughter. He promised you.
Amen.
Do you praise Him every day for it?
Yes.
Well, after I get through complaining. You mean after you get through killing your promise, then you try to resurrect it? You just sprayed Roundup on it? Friends, I'm trying to help you. I've been guilty of this myself. I've sowed enough negative seeds myself. Again, questions and answers. He says, look, speaking of Rebecca going to meet Isaac, look, the very camel she watered was the camel that packed her to her bridegroom and all of her success. And the very camel, the very power, that beast in the Bible represents power, the very power that we give water and praise to, amen, water, life, praise to the word, is the very thing that packs us into glory land to meet the bridegroom. Yes, sir. Amen. The Holy Ghost tonight, friends, is our camel train to glory. The Holy Ghost is what has been sent to carry us. It's our rest, and it's what carries us into glory land. So when the camel comes near, we give the Lord Jesus praise. The very thing that you give praise to will pack you into glory land. But Brother Doug, I don't feel like it. I don't remember asking you how you feel. I don't remember us coming. Now, how many feels like, okay, let's take a vote. How many feels like praising the Lord tonight? Just raise your hand. This is a democracy now. We don't want to put pressure on anybody. How many thinks that, you know, that'll be just the Spirit of the Lord. That'll be the leading of the Lord. How many, all in favor, raise your hand. Okay, I'll join you in your slump. What kind of a service would that be?
Right.
One of them dead, cold, formal, starchy, right, twice plucked up by the root services that I grew up in.
Right.
No life.
Right.
I'm not interested in attending funeral services every time we come together.
Right.
Yeah.
Good.
He's resurrected. He's living. Glory. Deuteronomy 26:11. I'm going to give you some scripture tonight. Then there'll be a test. I won't be giving it. He will. How many knows that's true? You hear the word, you're tested.
Yeah.
You hear the word? You're tested. Deuteronomy 26:11. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord hath given unto thee. Thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord hath given unto thee. It's real quiet. And unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Woe is me. Or as Brother Jewel would say, wowsy, wowsy, woo. I ain't joining you. Not getting there with you. I've been there. It leads to more misery. We read this morning, as we opened, a huge list of all the things that God has given to us in this day. And we don't have a reason to praise Him? I'm convinced, friends, some of us need harder times. Because harder times will result in us calling upon Him. And then you call upon Him, you'll see Him in your life. And then you'll give Him praise. But we don't need hard times to praise Him. If we do, then hard times will come. But 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth until the next revival. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Friends, notice, He's not saying, get down and pray and say, God, pay my rent. God, give me money for shoes. God, I don't have money for the dentist. God, I need this. This doesn't have anything to do with you. This is you giving thanks. Just, Lord, thank you for being holy. Thank you for being true. Thank you for being trustworthy. Thank you for being something that I can count on. I'm convinced that Brother David was a Pentecostal. We thank the Lord for rent money, and that's good. But what about His holiness? When everything revolves around you, that's where pity comes in. That's you need to get over yourself. This is part of overcoming, our overcoming series. If you're real quiet right now, chances are you're struggling with this. And since you're struggling with it, you got two choices. You can either get mad at me, or you can say, I'm getting help tonight. I'm going to grow up and face this thing down. I was born with a certain nature or temperament that if I'm not careful, I internalize. And I look at myself and I feel sorry and I try to wrap other people in it. But I'm going to overcome that thing. And I'm going to not look at me, I'm going to look at Him. And when I look at Him, there's no negativity. When I look at Him, there's praise. When I look at Him, there's amen and amen. We could all... Friends, there's not a one of us that isn't going through something. And just because we're not showing it doesn't mean it isn't affecting us like it is affecting you. I'm not getting through. I can feel it. I'm not getting through. Somebody's going to leave mad. I'm praying for you right now. Maybe they're listening. I don't know. But I'm going to preach it anyway. When it all revolves around you, you will be most miserable. I don't care who you are. People will follow sports to get their minds off of their own situation. They started back in the Great Depression era. There were people that lined up to go to the movie theater. They could barely afford the 5 cents or whatever it was to go to the movie theater, but they went to get their mind on happier things. We don't need those things to cheer us up. The Word of God does that for us. Some of us just need to apply this. Some of us just need to try it. We don't need those things to cheer us up. That's what church does for us. Amen. That's what a message does for us. That's what the Word of God does for us. Amen. For every son and daughter of God. When we come to church, it's not at all about us. It's all about Him.
Amen.
And I've been, friends, I've been in the same boat that you've been in, where it's all I could do to drag myself to church sometimes.
Right,
but unlike you, I don't get a choice on whether I'm going to praise Him or not.
Right,
I get behind the pulpit and I preach.
Right,
and you don't know what I'm going through.
Right.
But I praise Him and I thank Him and I encourage you.
Right.
Encourage you in the promises.
Right.
And yet I'm going through something.
Right.
Just like you are.
Right. Amen.
When we come to church, it's all about Him.
Yes.
It's not your party, it's His. So many of the people that leave the church over the throughout the years and they ride the circuit, they go from one church to the next to the next. They do so because it's all about them. They're not getting what they want. The problem is it's the same everywhere they go. And it always ends in disappointment. Why? Because it's about them. Jesus never disappoints. Friends, if you come to praise Him, it don't matter what's going on around you. It don't matter whether somebody shook your hand or whether they recognized that you were even existed or not. You came to worship Him. You come to do that, you won't leave disappointed. Glory to God. Some people go away mad. Why? Because it wasn't about Jesus to them. They let it be about something else. It's all about Him. Psalm 34, verse 1. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. Go ahead and drive me away. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, friends, I'm striking some nerves here tonight. Some of you have been going through the melancholic molly grubs here for a little while. I feel for you. I know what it's like. I feel for you. You think it's gloomy. All you can see is the overcast skies and the clouds, but the sun never left. You see the clouds, but just beyond the clouds is the sun. Amen. You need to change the atmosphere. Instead of waiting for it to change or expecting somebody else to change it, you're the creator here. You're the son or daughter of God. You need to create an atmosphere, the one that God ordained. You've got the word. The word gives you the word commands you to do it. This isn't something somebody else does. It's what you do. You take that word and say, you know what? I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm an overcomer. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm in health. My family's saved. They might be living like the devil. My family's saved. Glory to God. I'm walking on the King's Highway. I'm heaven bound. This old world, it ain't my home. I'm living in the glory land. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen, Brother David. Blessed be the Lord who daily... loadeth us with benefits. Oh, the church needs to feel sorry for me. Why? Because your load didn't arrive? Daily loadeth us. Friends, now, that devil that's got a hold of your mind is going to say, well, he just has no compassion. We all get down.
Sure.
But we don't stay down.
Amen.
We all need a little encouragement. Some of us won't accept it.
Right.
Some of us want pity instead of encouragement.
Right.
It's not in the Word. There's nothing in the Word. That's from your background. That's a Catholic devil. You don't need pity. You need positive affirmation of the Word. You need to be shown. Oh God, open their eyes. Let them see. They're talking about all this that's arrayed against them. Let them see, Lord, open their eyes. Let them see that there's more on our side than there is on their side. Oh, glory to God. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. No good thing. You're not doing without. No good thing. That's a promise. Psalm 92:1. A psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Friends, a song leader shouldn't have to beg you to praise your King. The preacher shouldn't have to try to preach that lip off the carpet. And he sure shouldn't have to try to preach you out of depression, but he'll do it. You weren't born to be depressed. You have no reason to be depressed. Oh, there you go again. You just don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what you're going through. You don't know the promises that God has given you. You don't know the peace that you're supposed to have right now in the midst of your trial. If you weren't saved, I would feel sorry for you, but you're the most blessed people on the face of the earth. If you're not happy, there's no hope for us. Well, we're getting somewhere here, Brother Dutch. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for he has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name. He has done great things. I'll bless his holy name. Hallelujah. You know, if we would just worship before we pray, we'd see more results in our prayers, because we would go into our prayers with faith, believing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? He's forgiven them all, and you're sad. who healeth all thy diseases, and you're discouraged. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and you forgot. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, and you forgot. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, friends, I wonder how many times this Shunammite woman, on her journey, on the way to meet her king, she's having a good time. She's discussing these things with these 60 trained men with the sword of the word, and they're reminding her of the promises, and they're speaking positively. These things are beginning to break on her, and her heart's just stirring within her. I wonder how many times she just said, "All right, stop. I got to get out of this thing and dance a little dance. I got to get out and just give him a little bit of praise. There ain't enough room in here. I just want to worship him for a little bit." Oh, glory to God. You know, your kids watch you. Your kids know when you shout. And every one of us shouts. Every one of us gets excited about something. Your kids know what it is that you get excited about. When you come to church and you're just a big old lump on the log. And then you try to tell your kids, "Oh, church is where we ought to be. It's a highlight of our week." Then why do you look you just been to the taxidermist? Why do you look like a deer that's head is hung on the wall? Help us, Lord. Psalm 103:21. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, all his works. So everything that he created, let everything that he created bless the Lord. In all places of his dominion. That means there's something down in Antarctica that ought to praise him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Friends, the trees lift their arms and worship the Creator. The birds sing. Water shouts. The grass, it dances, and the dew that falls upon it in the morning, and as the sun comes out, it quivers and shakes. It's in revival. It's praising its Creator. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. The leaves rejoice when the wind blows through them. And they just rattle and sing. Let them heal you. You'll praise them. You know, when you're sick, you don't realize how healthy you are. And when your health is returned, you know the sickness is over. How do you know? Because you feel good. And then you realize, you know what? I didn't realize how good it feels to feel good. Just to feel normal is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's enough to praise him, isn't it? Psalm 106:1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. For his mercy endureth. Until I don't feel good. Forever. Psalm 107:21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. It sounds like he's begging us to do this. Oh, they just haven't caught it. They just don't know how good he is. Oh, that they would praise him for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. In other words, you don't always feel like it. It's not based on whether you feel like it or not. If I only preached when I felt like it, I'd very seldom be here. I feel like it when the anointing strikes and we get in it, but I don't always feel like it. You say, oh, that's horrible for you to admit. You don't feel like going to work either. But you go, don't you? And you're glad you did. Your kids are too. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing, with complaining. The best way to start a prayer is with a sacrifice of praise, declaring his works. Well, I don't really feel like he's doing anything in my life. That's the problem.
Right.
If you just stop and take a look,
right,
you'd recognize just having another breath,
amen,
having your health.
Amen.
You haven't lost your mind today, have you? Still got a roof over your head?
Right.
You haven't quit God, have you? Oh, we've got a lot to praise him for, friends. It can become a habit looking for the bad. I know this. I've lived it. It can become a habit looking for the negative. And you can become so skilled at it that there's no negative thing that will pass by your watchful eye. And you'll be the most miserable person on the earth. I know this. Been there, done that. I'm going the other way. I choose to be happy. But not just because I'm choosing blindly, but because I realized, and I realized this a long time ago, I realized all that I was missing by focusing on the negative. I was missing all the good. I couldn't see it. Why? Because my confession was negative. You know, it's like people that stay up all night and sleep all day. They can't tell you what happens during the day because they're not awake. But they can tell you about all the boogeymen and vampires and the used car commercials at 1 o'clock in the morning. My. God help us. Sometimes thanksgiving is a sacrifice. A loved one is taken away. It's a sacrifice to give thanks to the Lord because part of you is hurting, right? But there's another part of you that's rejoicing. You're still hurting, but you're rejoicing. Sometimes people ask you, how are you doing? And they're expecting you to say, fine. They really don't want to hear, well. And so you tell them, fine. I'm doing wonderful. When you just had the hardest day of your life. Why? Because the truth of it is, you are doing wonderful. You're going through a trial, which you're going to get through, and you're going to get the victory, and you're going to have more character, and you're going to be closer to God, and you're going to be stronger and more powerful, and things are going to get easier. So yes, you're doing fine. But instead, some people will go through the first, second, and third pull of their trial. And you're ready to throw a rope over the rafters and hang yourself afterwards because it's so horrible. Psalm 115, verse 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, when does this apply? Well, you have to start sometime.
Yeah.
And sometimes we forget. Sometimes life throws us a curve. Sometimes we get down. And sometimes we have to be reminded. And when we're reminded, from that time forth, we will bless the Lord.
Amen.
You're blessing Him. Not the other way around.
Right.
Bless the Lord, not Lord bless me.
Right.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord.
Yes.
Notice, friends, I've had to battle this. I'm sure that you have too. It says, lift up your hands. Now, last time I noticed, there's an S at the end of the word hand. Right? It doesn't mean that's lifting up your hand. Right? This is hands. Right? I've done it myself. I've lifted up my hand because I didn't feel like lifting up my hands. Right? So you lift up your hand. What is that? I'm half-heartedly. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, if I do this, I look like a fanatic. But if I do this, you know, it's kind of like nodding your head. Good point. You know, you can do that in an auction and nobody will call you a fanatic. Who'll give 10? You don't go. I've battled that thought at special meetings. Had the hand up. And I thought, you know what? There ain't nothing wrong with you, left hand. You ain't no better than right hand. You can move too. For a period of time, we would have prayer before or after the service. And I would tell the people, just to try to sneak this in, trick them. I'd say, how many has a need from the Lord? Lift your left hand. And everybody go, how many believes that God's going to answer it? Lift your right hand. Gotcha. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Where are we at? In the sanctuary. Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, but Brother Doug, you just don't understand. I'm not that type. Well, then don't look David up in heaven, because he was that type. And by the way, don't look me up either, because I'm that type. We all express it in different ways. We all will praise in different ways, worship. But if we can't lift our hands, we need a little Holy Ghost WD-40. A little squirt here and a little squirt there to loosen them joints up and hinges. Maybe a little bit on your mouth. Maybe you're the tin man. You got rained on and rusted. And need a little Holy Ghost WD-40 on the jaw. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Maybe your arms are stuck and they're rusted. You need a little Holy Ghost WD-40 on your shoulder. Need a little bit more on the elbow. Maybe on the fingers. Next thing you know, Tin Man's got his arm up. Right? Maybe you need a little bit here and a little bit there. Song leader says, let's sing another one.
Yeah.
Come on, let's sing another one. I command my hands to praise the Lord. I command my hands to praise the Lord. Hands, you got to praise the Lord. I said hands. Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. A sweet, not a complaint, a sweet savor before the Lord. You can have the same prayer with a different effect. You can have a, Lord, my heart is heavy. I'm going through this trial. My loved one needs healing. My wife My wife passed out on me this morning. Sister Emma. Did you hear that Brother Alvaro committed suicide today? Yeah. Yeah, his wife passed out and he couldn't revive her, so he killed himself. No, he didn't do that. What did he do? He called upon the brothers. And the brothers said, we're believing with you. Oh my, we feel for you, but we're believing with you. They came and got her, took her to the hospital. She was revived. And the doctor said, you're going to get through this. We serve a living God. And then he responds, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. God is good. She hears what we preached this morning and said, that was for me. Well, yeah, we had to pray for you so that you could hear it. It's all how we look at it. The devil wanted her to miss it. She heard it. One guy falls out of a balcony, dies, dead. Paul goes down, prays for him, brings him back, says, I wasn't done. Are we going to praise him for it? Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Again? Lifting up of hands again? As the evenings. Friends, if he could do this for the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament, the evening sacrifice, how much more should you be able to lift it up for your sacrifice? He's worthy of your praise. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. Got a couple more minutes? 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Paul's imprisoned. Demas has left him. This one's left him. That one's left him. He can hardly see. He's cold. And he says, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Thank you for the flat tire. In everything, give thanks. God's going to prove himself to you in a flat tire. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Thank you, Lord, for that guy that's giving me a hard time. Jeremiah 33:11. The Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And all them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as the first, saith the Lord. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. Psalm 119:108. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. That's a willing offering, a voluntariness. That's what free will is. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Remember, Paul's in prison writing these things. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You mean you can think of those things when you're in prison, Paul? Absolutely. What do you think got him through that? Wasn't thinking about the rats and the cold and his eyesight. Think on these things. Let me read a couple of statements. We'll stop here tonight. There's plenty more that we could read, but hallelujah. Blind Bartimaeus. He says, when you get to thinking about divine healing, get to thinking about Christ. Keep him on your mind. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, the Bible said, think on these things. If any thought comes by, well, maybe it couldn't be. Maybe, he said, get it off your mind right quick. Think on things that's positive. Never let a negative thought pass through. Don't let it stop anyhow. If it starts to, keep your thoughts positive. Jesus. There's only one way to be positive, and that's to be positive. He says, don't think, sitting there in a wheelchair, that you're hopeless. I'm like, come on, friends. Nobody's in a wheelchair here tonight, but if you were in a wheelchair, you could see how easy it would be to think this is hopeless. Don't think, sitting there in a wheelchair, that you're hopeless or helpless. You're not. Don't let that negative thought ever pass through. Don't let it anchor. You can't help it from going through your mind. That's right. But don't let it stop. Like the old farmer said, I can't keep the birds from flying over my place. But he had a double barrel shotgun. And he said, I can sure keep them from roosting. So you do the same thing. You too. See, don't let them roost. Let them pass right on through. Now here's the shotgun to use. Both the New Testament and the Old Testament. That's a double barrel. Very good tool. I'll tell you, it keeps them away. We just read from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He says, you know, when you think about God, when you keep your mind, oh, you sit in the church and you think about everything else but God. How are you going to do your washing? What are you going to do at the office tomorrow? How are you going to do this or that or the other? He says, keep your mind off of that and think on God. The Bible said, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Wonder if I'll get called in the prayer line. Wonder if God will speak. Don't think that kind of negative thought. Don't let it go through your mind. Make every word positive, every thought positive. Again, he says, don't have nothing else in your mind. Keep thinking that. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. You cannot get anything from God with a negative thought. He's not going to do something for you because he feels sorry for you. He's going to do something for you because you take him at his word. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You go to the doctor, he says, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have cancer. Well, quickly, that's all. He's dead. That's just all there is to it. Or she, they're gone. The doctor says, well, that's paralysis, and that's leukemia. Well, right quick, they're as good as dead right then. See, fear sets in, see? But it shouldn't. Who is this that made the promise? What are we living for? Why are we the church of the living God? Why are we filled with the Holy Ghost? Listen to this. To remember in the time of trouble that He is still here. That He stabilizes things. He's the same yesterday. Now, friends, if you don't believe He's going to stabilize things, I understand why you're discouraged. But He's given you a promise. Why am I... Oh, I could just speak personally to so many. I just feel the pull tonight. Some of you are just not getting it. You're listening. Some of you are just... You're close. But you're thinking the lie of the devil, which is telling you that your situation is different.
Right?
My dad this, and it's different. My wife that, and it's different. My son this, and it's different. My daughter that. My physical problem, and it's different. That's a lie. You're going to believe somebody. Believe God. Take Him at His word. Start praising Him for it. Don't look for evidence. Start praising Him for it. Start giving Him praise. Water that promise. I don't care what it is tonight, friends. I don't care what you're going through, and I don't care how long you've been going through it. Tonight could be your night. Tonight could be the night that you say, Lord, I don't understand this, and I don't know why I've went through this, but you said, and I'm going to take you at your word tonight. I don't need an evidence. I don't need some supernatural something. I just need to take you at your word. And now I'm going to start giving you praise for it because I believe you. Not because of me. Not because I think I'm great. Not because I think I'm strong. Not because I got a chill or a feeling. But because you said it. And God, if you don't do it, you're going to have to face me when I go to the other side and explain to me why you didn't do it. Oh, friends, He'll do it. He's waiting for you to take Him at His word. Who are we going to believe tonight? Who is this that made the promise? What are we living for? Why are we the church of the living God? Why are we filled with the Holy Ghost? To remember in the time of trouble that He's still here. He stabilizes things. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is with us just the same. He might be resting a few moments between the meetings, but He's still here just the same. Yeah, and when trouble sets in and faith of Him being with us, then fear sets in. And when fear sets in, then we really got trouble. But we cast out fear. Love, that love that we have in our hearts, the love that He has for us, casts out that fear. We take Him at His word tonight, friends. Philemon 1:6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I'm saved. I'm His. He is mine. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. I'm going in the rapture. I'm loved. I'm part of His body. I'm elect. I'm chosen. Chosen in Him. Couple more. We've let too many things hinder the faith that we've been taught. We don't need more teaching. We need to let go and let God. We've let too many things. Friends, I preached this 25 years ago, and we're preaching it again tonight. We've let too many things hinder it. The faith that we've been taught. The Holy Spirit that's been living in us. We've let too many things. Looking at somebody else. And the devil's always trying to point you to somebody's failure. But he tries to keep you away from the real testimony that's genuine.
Sure.
He will point you to a hypocrite sometimes who went out and impersonated something. He didn't do it because he was impersonating. But if he come to the true source of the Word of God, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word cannot pass away. It got to stay. You see it? See? Again, he says, it must be accepted in the mind. Then it's believed in the heart. Then the word of God becomes a reality. Then every senses of the soul and the body is just scoured out with the Holy Spirit. Then your sense of God, your conscience of God, everything that's godly flows through you. There's not a doubt anywhere. There's nothing that can rise up. There's nothing that can come up in the memory and say, well, I remember Miss Jones tried to trust God. Or Miss So-and-so or Miss Doe tried to trust God for healing one time and she failed. See, but if that channel has been cleared out and it's been purged and it's been filled on the inside with the Holy Spirit, that don't even come in the memory.
Right.
See, you see, this spending time in the Word scrubs you out.
Amen.
A lot of the battles we fight is because we haven't been immersed.
Right.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
No matter about Miss Jones, friends, Paul, can you imagine what Paul went through when it came to his remembrance that he held the coats of people that stoned the Christians? That he was actually one of the foremost fighters against Christianity? I mean, that's suicide material, right? How do you ever get over that? He got over it. He got to the place where it was not even a memory. Why? Because he got so used to living as the new man that he put behind the old man. No matter about Miss Jones and what she did, it's you and God together. Nobody else but you two. There you are. There's your battle. Again, he says, kill him at the beginning. Stop him dead in his tracks. It ain't how long you can make the war linger. It's stop it right now. This takes discipline. This takes focus. You got to realize, you know what? I tend to be negative, and I'm going to stop that. I'm going to be on the watch. The next time that I start to get negative, I'm going to be on the watch for it. And I might get half a word out or a sentence, but I'm going to stop it. And the next time, maybe half a sentence. And then the next time, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And then I'm going to get to the place where I say something good.
Amen.
Instead of bringing party hats to the negative party. Kill him at the beginning. Stop him dead in his tracks. It ain't how long you can make the war linger. Stop it right now. If you'll come and you'll keep them memories and conscience and everything thinking about it, well, I might fail. It might not be right. Don't you do that at all. You throw aside everything and open up the channel and say, God, your word is eternally true. And it's for me. If the whole church fails, if the whole world fails, yet I can't fail because I'm taking you at your word. Again, he says, the mind is the gate of the soul, the gate of the spirit, rather. Your mind opens up and accepts the spirit or it rejects the spirit. You can have little consciences and little feelings and little sensations, all these things. And that has nothing to do with it. That's just little sensations and things. But when it comes to reality, your mind opens up to it. Your mind either accepts it or rejects it. That's it, friends. God, let none of them miss it. See, it's your mind that opens up the door or closes the door and listens to your conscience, listens to your memory, listens to your affections. But when your mind closes itself to those things and let God, the Spirit of the Word, come in, it blows the rest of the stuff out. Every doubt is gone. Every fear is gone. Every sensation of doubt is gone. Every feeling is gone. There's nothing standing there but the Word of God, and Satan cannot battle against that. No, sir. He cannot battle against it. Now we know that that's the truth. He says these battles has raged since the day of the Garden of Eden, the battle in the human mind. Satan started it. What did he do when he met Eve? He didn't deny God's word, but he whitewashed it. He stopped up some little channels here somewhere. The battle raged when Eve opened up her mind to listen to her reasonings. That's the flue that it come in. That's the channel that it run down. Her reasoning. She, in her soul, she reasoned. Her eyes with sight. She saw the serpent. He was beautiful, handsome, far better than her own husband. He was the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. And he was probably a fairer man than her husband. He looked like a great masculine beast standing there. Oh, how great he was. And he was trying to tell her what a great thing it was. And the first thing she did, she opened up her mind. And when she did, human reasoning caught it. Why wouldn't that be a thrill? Listen. It can batter against you, but it can't get you until you accept it. When Satan walked up to Eve and said, you know, the fruit's pleasant, she stopped for a moment. Oh, that's when she made a mistake, when she stopped for a moment. Don't stop for nothing. You got the message? Jesus lives. God's a healer. That's the message. Don't stop for nothing. No reasonings. No nothing else. But she stopped for a moment. That's when Satan walked right into that mind and said, well, it sounds reasonable. Oh, don't do that. Just take what God said. Last paragraph. Just let God's word penetrate. First, take that mind. There's a battleground. Now say, well, if I could feel it, if I'd feel the glory of God falling, oh, that has nothing to do with it. Not a thing. You know, some of you, that's part of why you're not breaking through in service, because you see how somebody else reacts. You're not them. We're not all screamers. Right? I'm glad some of us are, but we're not all screamers. We're not all runners. We're not all going to roll on the floor. We're not all head nodders. Every one of us is different. Don't look for any of that. Don't look to be like somebody else. Just let go and let God. Let the words penetrate. First, take that mind. There's the battleground. Not say, well, if I could feel it, if I'd feel the glory of God falling, oh, that has nothing to do with it. Not a thing. Open up that mind. That's the battleground. There's where the battle sets in array. Right here in the front line, your mind, open it up and say, every doubt, I doubt my doubts. So you're doing one thing, you're admitting that you have doubts, and then you're saying, I doubt my doubts. I am doubting my doubts now. I'm believing God's word. Here I come, Satan. Something's going to take place. Sure it will. Yes, sir. Friends, you'll just walk right into it. You'll walk. It's that simple. It really is that simple. Glory to God. Let's stand. Do you love him? Hallelujah. Musicians, if you would come tonight. Thank you. Friends, I know that it's cutting sometimes. But it needs to be cutting sometimes. Especially if we're holding on to things that aren't good for us. They need to be cut away. And the word is what cuts it away. You're not being cut. Whatever you might be holding on to is being cut. Problem is, we get comfort from those things. I remember my mother-in-law many years ago. She struggled with smoking and wanted to quit. And I know how hard that is. And she finally did quit at one point. And she told my wife, she says, I feel like I lost my best friend. And you know, you think, oh, well, that's ridiculous. But if you smoke, you realize you're getting something from it. There's some comfort that you're getting. You wouldn't do it otherwise. There's an attraction. There's a great price to pay. And it's meeting a need in your life. Sort of. It's a perversion of what God sent to satisfy. Just like alcohol. There's nothing wrong with being drunk. It just depends on what you're drinking. There's a wine that you're... God wants you to be drunk. He wants you to drink that new wine. And it stimulates. But the difference between that wine and the wine that the devil offers is that this wine causes you to tell the truth. The next day you remember what you said and you don't feel sorry for it. And you didn't hurt anybody. And there's joy and there's peace. There's liberty. So the devil will offer you things. Self-pity is one of those things. You get comfort from it. There's a spirit that feeds off of that. And you get comfort from it. And if you've been associated with it most of your life. But there's other things that come with it too. It doesn't satisfy. You get angry with people that won't feel sorry for you. Well, how? That should tell you something right there. We require things from one another. You shouldn't require anything from anybody. Right? Why? Because He is my peace.
Yes.
He's my comfort.
Hallelujah.
He's my strong tower.
Yes.
He's my place of refuge. He's my healer.
Thank you, Lord.
He's my comforter.
Amen.
He's my strength.
Yes, Lord.
He's Amen. My... promise keeper. I trust that you'll just let go and let the Holy Spirit move over you tonight. And just let go, friends. We don't mean to. We really don't. We don't mean to. Look. I have loved ones, right? Are all of my loved ones serving the Lord? No. Does it tear me up? Yes. Do I have a promise? Yes. Am I dragging all of you through the first, second, and third pull of what I'm going through? No. Am I taking it before the Lord? Yes. Do I have a promise? Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, how am I different than you? I take Him at His word. He's given me a promise. I don't care what it looks like. And yeah, it'll look worse. You start making that confession, which I'm doing right now, and the devil will cause things to act up. Hate mail will come or something. Somebody will get arrested or whatever. Right? Oh, it'll get worse. Well, I thought... The promise isn't based on what you think. And it's not based on how bad it looks. It's a promise. And the way I look at it, Brother JJ, is the worse it gets, the greater the promise. The bigger black eye the devil's going to get. I love to see that big old shiner on his eye. He's giving me such a hard time, friends. I don't mind giving Him a hard time. You say, well, you shouldn't tempt Him. No, don't tempt the Lord thy God. I'm not tempting the devil. I'm in a battle. I'm just recognizing I'm in a battle. The greatest battle that was ever fought. Amen. And my weapons are not carnal. That means I'm not going to bring your feelings into my battle. Because it's not a carnal battle and my weapons. Your sympathy is not a weapon. Your sympathy won't save my daughter. I can get you all feeling sorry for my daughter, but that won't move God, and it won't move the devil. The devil will have a laughing party. Well, it won't move anything. But But I have a promise concerning my daughter. She's mine. She'll be on the other side. I don't care what it takes. I don't need your sympathy. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate that you enter into our suffering. I appreciate that. But I don't need you to feel sorry for me. I need you to agree with me. I just gave you one example. We can go down a list. Every one of us has got a need here tonight. And every one of us has got a promise that goes right along with that need. Every single one of us. Amen. What we need to do is take God at His word and then give Him praise. Give Him honor. Give Him glory. Water that promise. Every day. Every day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for my deliverance. Thank you for my loved one. Thank you for my new body. Thank you for the rapture. Thank you for the wedding supper that I'm going to. Thank you for my peace. Thank you for the rest that I have tonight. Thank you for the confidence that you've given me. Thank you for my sanity. Thank you for the hope that I have against all hope. Thank you for the light in the midst of the darkness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your choice. Thank you for your sacrifice. You could have left me in the muck and the mire, but you didn't, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for stopping and stooping to pull me up out of the muck. And then to clean me up. You didn't leave me that way, but you cleaned me up. Thank you for putting me into service when you know what I was. But you forgot what I was and focused on what I am. Thank you, Lord. Oh, friends, we have so much to thank Him for. We have so much to praise Him for. And we should give Him praise every day for everything. And we should bless His holy name. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His holiness. Thank you for my mom. Thank you for my dad. Thank you for the promises that you give me, Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, I run out of words, Lord. I know what's in my heart. Lord, sometimes my heart wants to just explode, to express, Lord, what's in my heart. I didn't put it in there. You did. And Lord, I just want to let it out. I want to make your good works known. I want to praise you, Lord, in the good times. I want to praise you in the bad times. I want to be positive when I feel sick. I want to be positive when everything is turning against me. I want to be positive, Lord. I want people to hear about you and know about you. When I'm hungry, when I'm tired, when I'm at the edge of my rope, Lord. When the devil's squeezing me from every side, I want to give you praise. I want to praise you from the mountaintops. I want to praise you from the valley. I want to praise you, Lord, when I'm alone. I want to praise you when I'm with my family. I want to praise you whether I feel like it or whether I don't. Because you're worthy of my praise, Lord. You're worthy of my worship. Oh, Lord, you're worthy of all that we have. I just praise your wonderful name. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, God, I worship you. I worship you. Bless my brothers tonight, Lord. Bless my sisters. You tormenting devils. I've been beating on you all night long. You're not my brothers. You're not my sisters. You're devils. And you've been hindering my brothers and sisters, haunting them in this greatest battle that was ever fought, but you've been put on notice tonight. We resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cast you out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the authority that's given to us by the Word of God, we doubt you tonight. You have a beginning, you have an end. I understand why you're discouraged, devil. If my end was like your end, I'd be discouraged too. But my story has a happy ending. In fact, my story doesn't have an ending. My story goes on and on and on throughout eternity. Your story comes to an end, to a bitter end, but it's your choice. I choose to be happy tonight. I choose to praise my God. I choose to be positive. I choose to focus on the good things. I choose to recognize what God has done for me. I choose to recognize what He's doing for me. I choose to stand upon His Word, to doubt all doubts, to cast down all reasoning, imaginations, memories, conscience, affections, feelings, anything that exalts itself above what the Word of God declares. I cast it down tonight. I exalt Thee, O Lord. I exalt Thee in the heavens. I exalt Thee on the earth. I praise You, Lord. With everything that's in me, I give You praise. I worship You. I worship You. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. I worship You. I worship You. You are here working in this place. I worship You. I worship You. You are here moving in our midst. Yes, Lord. I worship You. Yes, Lord, I worship You. Yes, Lord, You are here working in this place. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, I worship You. I worship You. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. Yes. Amen. Waymaker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. Let the redeemed say so. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. You are here touching every heart. Amen. I worship You. Amen. He promised, friends. And He's here tonight, just as He said He would be. Here, You're healing every heart. Hallelujah. I worship You. I worship You, Lord. I worship You. You are here, turning lives around. Lord, I worship You. Thank You, Lord. I worship You. You are here. You are here. Oh, You're mending our hearts, Lord. You're sewing up our wounds. I worship You. You're giving us the peace, the comfort. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Waymaker. Waymaker. Miracle worker. Promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. You're Waymaker. My God, that is who you are. And again, Waymaker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Amen. Amen. I worship you.
You are here working in this place.
I worship you. Yes, Lord, I worship you.
You are here.
You're moving in my midst. I worship you. Lord, you're the way maker, miracle worker.